Started a sermon a few weeks ago, what God cannot do. And I hope you weren't offended by that. Sometimes people don't realize that you do things to kind of cause people to think just a little bit. A friend of mine was preaching in Mississippi at Heritage years ago. We got this idea, some of us, about going and getting a tent and going to different places and preaching. And so we would all preach. And so we were down in Mississippi preaching somewhere. And it was down in the Delta, which down there, they've got mosquitoes down there that are big as Volkswagens. They'll tote Volkswagens off, I think. A friend of mine, he was down preaching that week, and he had a sermon, "No Unmarried People Are Going to Heaven." Well, if you know about the church, you've got to be married to Jesus Christ and to the church to be able to go to heaven. That was the point that he had. But he went into a store down there and he gave this fella brochure about the meeting. And he said, "Yeah, look here, no unmarried woman going to heaven." He said, "You get out of my store." He said he was mad. He said, "I got an old maid sister that's never been married, and I know she's going to heaven." And sometimes they can get you into trouble if you're not careful. So you have to be careful about that. But we're looking at what God cannot do. And I'll just give you the conclusion of this thing just a little bit. It's not what God cannot do. It's what God has allowed us to do, but we don't do. God can do anything. But God has relinquished His power and given His power to you for you to make a decision as to whether you want to serve God or not serve God. Now that's yours to decide. God's not going to force you. Mark talked a little bit about this in Bible class this morning. Please understand, God does not condemn anybody to hell. Understand that. He doesn't condemn anybody to hell. He gives people what they're working for. That's all He does. We can't blame God if we're lost, because He's given us every opportunity, every chance, every way that we can to be saved. I mean, what else could He do? He's made it so simple. He's not made it complicated. He's not made it hard for us to be able to go to heaven. And so, please, we can't blame God for that. We don't need to do that. What we need to do is to recognize what our responsibility is. God is a God of love. God is a God of care and concern, and He will continue to be that kind of God. He will continue to exhibit that toward all mankind. But one day, He must end this world, and we have to realize that. And so what I'm trying to do is to cause you to think for just a little bit about this idea of what God cannot do. Now, in the first part of this sermon, we saw that God cannot sin. God's not going to sin at all. And then secondly, we saw God cannot lie. And then thirdly, we saw that God cannot ignore sin. And please understand this, for every sin that is committed, someone will have to pay the price. Now either you're going to pay the price for your sins, or you're going to allow God to pay the price for your sins through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed on the cross. But understand, every sin will receive a just recompense for reward. I read that in a book somewhere one time. And we need to know that that's true. Now, Jesus Christ wants to forgive us. That's His desire. That's His hope. But we've got to realize we've got a responsibility to accept or to reject His word. Now, what I want us to do tonight is see the power of God and see how strong God is and how mighty God is. In Luke 1, in verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Nothing is impossible to God. God can do it. Psalms 135 and verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does. Whatever God wants to do, He can do it. He's got the power to do that. He's got the strength to do that. He took the Red Sea and parted it one time, so the children of Israel, and some have suggested over 1 million people, walked through on dry land with the water on either side of them. That's the power of God. We can see that when the children of Israel were receiving the Ten Commandments, that the whole mountain would shake there. We can see that people, when they thought that they were going to see God, as Robert's been talking about on Wednesday night, they hit the ground. They didn't want to look at God. They didn't want to see God because of all the awesome power and the might that He had. And we could go on and on and on talking about the power and the strength of God and how great He is. In Isaiah 66 and verse 3, He says there, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." For all of these things, Every one of these things are things that I have made. God made those things. And so he has the power over that. He has the strength over that. And his power and his strength is great. So God has the power to do these things. Now, what I want us to do now is look at just 2 points tonight. Boy, you're just thrilled to death, aren't you? You're going to get out early, maybe. Linda says, don't tell people you're getting out early when you go on over. I said, it's my intention I don't get there. It just, you know, that's my intention is to try to do that. So we'll try to do that, okay? If not, just put more in the collection plate Sunday morning and we might get shorter sermons. I thought I'd just throw that one in for just whatever. The first thing we need to recognize is the thing that God cannot do. God cannot save apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, most of us would agree to that, but I want to emphasize that to you because we're living in a world today that more religious groups are coming into the United States. They are probably in the thousands now. Some of the Eastern religions, some religions of different places are coming in, and you have people. I was talking to a fellow the other day, a preacher in the church, and he said, I got a call one day from a lady. She wanted me to come over and bless her house. I said, okay, I guess that's coming now. And I don't know where people got that from, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's anything good with it. It's just whatever you want to do. But I'm thinking that's got to be the effect of some of the other religions. And if we're not careful, we'll let them affect us. Some religions say that you can be saved without Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that you can't be saved without Jesus Christ. That's it. And I'm not trying to bemean anybody, say anything bad about anybody. I'm trying to show you what the Bible has to say. The Bible is a book that is very specific. When God said he was going to form Jesus Christ and he was going to give him to this world to die on the cross and that man could be saved through Jesus Christ, there is no plan B. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've got something to do, I've got a plan A and a plan B, and sometimes I got a plan C. So if this doesn't go, I can do this, and then I can do this, and then I can do this. Because I don't like to wait. I just don't like to wait. So I want to have that plan in my head already, and I want to be ready to move if something happens in that. You have to be ready to do that. You've got to be ready to do that. And so, but God doesn't do that. God said, I've got one plan. That's all there is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. In John 14, verse 6, listen to what is said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, that's what Jesus Christ was saying. Now, you say, well, that's kind of bragging. Well, read the book and you'll find out about it. Read the whole book of John, because the book of John is to convince people that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. So here, he's saying this, I am the way. This verse helps us to see that there's no other way. There's no other plan, that God has only given Jesus Christ. So what we've got to do is decide, and it's very simple. See how simple God made it? We either accept Jesus or we reject Jesus. And we do that by the way we live our lives. Not just by the way we talk, but the way we walk, the kind of life that we're living. We show that in our lives. God does not ignore sin. He will not do that. We mentioned that in the lesson before. He's not going to ignore sin. He's going to deal with that. We talked about how he dealt with Adam and Eve and their sin. He did not ignore their sin. He went to the garden and he found them there. Now, you just don't worry about the found thing. God knew where they were the whole time. He was trying to help man to see where he was. And he found them there. He confronted them with their sin. He helped them to see that they had sinned. They needed to know that. He wanted them to understand that they had sinned so that they could want to be saved and want to turn to him. They needed that. They needed to understand that. That's what they had to do. In John 3 and verse 16, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but that they should have everlasting or eternal life. That's what God wanted. Now, most of the world knows John 3 and verse 16. What's verse 17 say? Most people don't read that far. But look at what he says. He said, for he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. That's what God was trying to show his love, or the way God was trying to show his love to people, is by giving his Son on a cross. Now, what greater sacrifice could be offered than giving your only Son on a cross? That's what Jesus Christ was, the only Son of God, and He was given on a cross so that man could be saved. God is going to confront people of their sins. He's trying to do that today. That's what He's trying to do when you talk to people about their soul, you encourage people to live right and to do right. That's when you come to church and you serve God and you put your heart into it, not just your mouth, not just your body, but your whole heart into it. That's what God wants you to do. That's what He desires you to do. And so He's trying to help us to see that. He offered that sacrifice for us, that sacrifice on the cross. But now look at this. Adam and Eve had sinned in Genesis 3. They had done that which was wrong. God had said, I'm going to put you in this garden. It's just a wonderful place. What you've got to do is to be fruitful and multiply and don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, when God says don't do it, we usually see if we can do it. That's just humanity. And we've got to learn. Adam and Eve had sinned. They were hiding. God went to him and He said, who told you sinned? He said, you've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hadn't you? By then they had made their clothing that they needed to cover their nakedness. They knew that they were naked then. They knew that they didn't have on any clothes because they understood what sin was. Most people understand what sin is. You've got to be taught not to understand it. And many people are being taught not to understand it. But let me tell you something. Look what God did. Man had tried to cover his nakedness. Man had tried to cover his sin by himself, and it didn't work. We can see that God, in Genesis 3 and verse 21, sacrificed an animal to make clothing for them. The first sacrifice that was given was made by God for man to cover his sins. Listen, that may not be significant to you, but it is to me. God has started from the beginning of time trying to cover the sins of man. He's tried to do that. He sacrificed this animal there. There will be other sacrifices that will be made. There will be other bulls and goats that will be offered, and they will sacrifice themselves to try to help us to understand what this thing of sacrifice is all about. You see, God had a plan. Now, somebody said, well, you know, He had that Old Testament law. Wasn't that His plan? That was His helping us to understand the plan. And you say, well, that was over many years. Remember, a day is 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is a day. He doesn't go by time, we do. But God was trying to illustrate to humanity what it was that He needed. They needed blood to sacrifice for their sins. So God, under the Old Testament law, and the law of Moses, gave them the blood of bulls and goats, gave them the blood of animals to be able to cover their sins. And those things were used. But listen, the blood of bulls and goats is not enough. Listen to what Hebrews said in Hebrews 10 and verse 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Well, now wait a minute. God told us to do it. Now He's telling us it won't work. Yes, it will. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ is that which flows back through the law of Moses. And those people that offered those sacrifices, those people that obeyed God at that time, the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleansed them. It wasn't the blood of the bulls and goats. The blood of the bulls and goats was only an example to show them what they needed, to help them to understand that this thing of sin is serious. When something loses its life for you, it is serious. Even if it's an animal, it's a serious thing. And that's what God wanted them to understand. And how much more could they understand the seriousness of this when the Son of God was taken and hung on a tree? Isn't that what Peter accused those people of in Acts, the second chapter? You with your wicked hands have taken and you've crucified the Son of God. You've hung Him on a tree. You've sacrificed His life. Whoa, this is worse than killing a bull or a goat for something I've done. This is terrible. This is awful. And see, those people heard it. And they said, what can we do to get ourselves straightened out? We'll talk about that in just a moment. They needed to understand, as we need to understand, that this thing of sin is not something that's just something you just kind of play with, but it's a serious, serious matter. For things to have to offer their life for us, that's a serious thing. So we need to understand how it is. It's impossible for us to be free of our sins except through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. There is no way that we can do that. There's no way that we can figure out a way to cover our own sins. That's basically what the Greeks did and the Romans and other nations. They said, God, we don't need you. We'll figure out our own way to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. I've met people today, not just today, but today is meaning a long time, that they're wanting to figure out their sins before they come to God. It won't work. You can't do it. You can devise all the ways you want to try to get yourself cleansed, but it won't work. Have you ever had somebody tell you, oh, listen, preacher, listen, I'm coming to church. As soon as I get my life straightened out, I'm going to be down there at church. I'll be on the front row. I'll sit up there with the preacher. I won't go that far, but I'll come to church. You'll never get it done. If you're waiting to be a perfect person to come to church, you wouldn't fit with the church if you could do it. Because there's none of us that are perfect, are we? Anybody in here perfect? Raise your hand. Okay. You're not coming into perfect people. You're coming into people that are trying to be right with God. That's all we are. That's all the church is. It's people that are trying to live according to God. And so here we have this. Now, you might turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. And I want you to see this. Here is God, through His disciples, through His apostles, trying to help man to understand. The book of Hebrews was written really to those Jewish people that needed to know the right way to go. You see, Judaism was so ingrained in them that they could not give it up and they could not accept Jesus Christ. So what the Hebrew writer did is said, okay, here's the old law and here's God's law, the new law that you're now under. Let's compare those and see how they go. Listen to what he says here. Every priest standing daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. He said, okay, here's your old law over here. It can't take away sins. It can roll them forward for another year. It can place the bulls and the goats there for them to be sacrificed. You can take that goat and put all your sins on him, the scapegoat, and send him out in the woods as a semblance of your sins being gone. But that doesn't take away your sins. What takes away the sins? Listen to this. Listen as he goes on. But he, that's talking about Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, Jesus doesn't have to come back again and offer another sacrifice. The one he offered was enough. That's all. One time, that's it. For all sin, for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now that means that he completed his job and he went over and he, you know, okay, I'm through. I finished my job. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now that you can go overboard with that, but please don't do it. But he's saying, I've completed my job. And then he goes on to say, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. He said, you don't need anything else for sin offering. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to offer your money. You don't need to do all that. You say, wait a minute, you're expecting us to give, aren't you? You're expecting us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Listen, that's not something we're offering to God. That's something we're getting to do to show God how much we appreciate Him. This thing of service to God is not something that we're just, oh, you got to push them in there and get it done. No, this is something we're saying, God, look at this. I'm going to do this. Because this is what you want done. I'm going to complete that. I'm going to keep myself from doing some of the things that this body wants to do because you're saying that that's not good for this body. That's not good for my soul. And so here we understand this. We recognize this. So it's not a matter of I got to. It's a matter of I get to. I get to do these things to show God I love you, I care for you, and I want to follow your will. And so we're going to be willing to do that. The Hebrew writer is trying to say to us, please understand, the old law, the new law, we've got a better law, it's established under better promises. We have more than the old law could ever offer. We couldn't even keep the old law. And without the grace of God, we couldn't keep the new law either. We got to have the grace of God, the mercy of God. That's what we've got to have. I think Mark talked about this morning. And, you know, do you want the justice of God or you want the mercy of God? Forget justice. I want mercy. I need mercy. I don't need justice. Justice is going to get me into trouble. I need mercy, a lot of it. And he has the power to be able to do that. Jesus became the perfect example to give. There was nothing that's any better. That's when he could sit down on the throne and he didn't have to offer any more sacrifices. Those sacrifices have been offered. We offer up our bodies as spiritual sacrifices to Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. It's important for every person to realize that. It's important for every person to understand that that's what Jesus Christ came to do. In Acts 4 and verse 12, listen to what it says here. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There's not another name under heaven. I don't care who they are. They didn't sacrifice their life. They didn't come back from the dead and go to the Father in heaven. They didn't do that. And they could not do that. They could not have that. Jesus Christ is the one and the only sacrifice. He's the only thing that we have that God has given to us to offer for our sins and the price to be paid there. And we've got to understand that. He is the only sacrifice. So if we do away with Jesus Christ, we've done away with salvation. Might as well walk away because there's nothing else. There's no other way. There's nothing else that we can have. Jesus Christ did that. His sacrifice is there for that. But listen, God cannot save us if we turn away from Jesus Christ. He can't do it. Should we question His power? Should we question His strength? Should we question His wisdom? Should we question His mind? No, don't do that. Question our obedience. That's what we got to look at. And you're saying, well, is it all depend on us? Yes, in one sense it does. Because you see, God created you to accept or to reject. I mean, you've got a right to hold your hands up to God and say, God, whatever you do, I'll just do it. Or you've got a right to take your fist and stick it up there and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You can do what you want to. Understand the consequences of that, though. If you are willing to say, God, I'll do what you want me to do, God will bless you. If you're willing to say, God, I don't want to listen to you, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to follow you, you've made up your mind. Mark this morning kind of posed the question about the idea of God condemning people. Listen, God doesn't condemn people. We're the ones that make that final decision. God wants to save us, John 3 and verse 16. Jesus did not come to condemn us, but to show us the way, John 3 and verse 17. So, What are they doing? Are they going to keep us? Excuse me. Are they going to keep us from going to heaven? Not at all. They're going to receive us in. And they've done everything they can do for us to be able to have that. Now, that's what God has done for us. Now, second point. Did I get the second one? God cannot save those who refuse to hear what He has to say and to believe in Him. There's no way that they can do that. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If we confess Jesus Christ with the mouth and that we believe in the heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we do that, you will be saved. Okay? Understand that. That passage is true. It is true. For with the heart men believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, sometimes people say, well, that's all you got to do is just say Jesus Christ. Well, we forgot what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, when He said, there's going to be some people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, to me. Lord, look at what we've done. We've cast out demons. We've done this. We've helped these people. We've done that. We went to worship. We've done all those things. We've done all this. And you don't know us? Why didn't He know them? One, they have not come to Him. You know people because you're with them. You know people because you're a part of them. If you don't know them, you're not going to be a part of them. You know, it'd be kind of silly. I think someone did this a while back. They're going to have a presidential party. I'm going up there, and I'm going to fly up there, and I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to walk in on that presidential party. I'm the one they're going to shoot. It's not going to work. They'll say, we're going to shoot one person, so we'll know, nobody else will do that. They'd get me. I don't have a right to go in there. People are serving their own way, doing what they want to do, even in religion. And if we do that, and don't look at the religious world and say, oh, they're doing it. Let me tell you something. We're doing it in the church too. Don't you know a lot of people that are trying to serve God their own way? Do it like they want to do it? Let me tell you something. They're not going to make it either. They're not going to make it either. You have got to submit your will to God, and you've got to be willing to listen to what God has to say, to believe in Him. And the idea of belief is I'm willing to do what He wants me to do. I believe in Him. I had a teacher, and I've mentioned this before, Jim Massey. He said, I think that word needs to be believeth. You continue to believe. You continue to live that way. You continue to conduct yourself like that. That's what we've got to be willing to do, is to believe in such a way that it will change our lives. And we'll live a different kind of life. We'll live a life that is obedient to God. We've got to be willing to do that. It's impossible for us to be able to come to God except through Jesus Christ. It's impossible for us if we're not willing to believe in Him enough that we're willing to rearrange our lives and change our lives. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to accomplish that. If we are not willing to do that, then we're not going to have a part in heaven. We're not going to be a part of the church. And I don't care if we sit there every Sunday, we do all the things that everybody else is doing. If your heart's not in it, then there's no benefit to it. You got to have your heart in it. That's what He wants us to do, to believe enough that we're willing to do that. We've got to be willing to do that. In Acts, the second chapter, the people there heard the word. They heard the words, you have crucified the Son of God. You've taken Him and you put Him on the tree. Those people in Acts 2 and verse 38 said, what can we do to be saved? They were told, simple, not complex, not hard. You don't have to have college education to understand it. He said there, what you've got to do if you want to be saved is you've got to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in water for the remission of those sins, and then live that life. And you will have forgiveness of your sins. Now, that's simple. That's not complicated. It's not complex. It's not something to where you've got to go to some theological seminary to figure it out. You just read it. It's there. And you follow it. Those people did that. And we see in Acts 2 and verse 47 that God added to the church daily those that were being saved. Did He say there, He's adding everybody that was baptized? He's adding everybody that believed? No. Because some people's heart weren't in it. Their heart was not in that. And you can be baptized till you're just, your skin just comes off. If your heart's not in it, it's not going to do any good. Your life has got to be in it. You show by your life that you've been washed and you've been cleansed because you're going to stay away from sin and you're going to live right. Now understand, we're all going to sin, but we're going to go back to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. What's He going to do? He's going to forgive us. It's not complicated. It's not hard. He said, if you repent, I will forgive. Now, how do we have, do we have to figure this out and go up here on the wall and write all this stuff up here and figure all this stuff out to figure out that God wants us saved? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance so that He can add them, put them, help them to be able to be in heaven. That's what He wants to do. That's what His whole desire is. That's what He's trying to accomplish. God has given you everything you need. It is your choice now. He has said, here it is. You choose. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want it? What God cannot do. We might say there's a lot of things that God can do. But God cannot do these things that we've talked about because He is trying to give us the opportunity to choose. He could have forced you to where you're going to do His will no matter what. That's called a slave. And we are referred to as slaves. We're those slaves that have a master that loves us and wants to do the greatest thing for us. Please, now listen to what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Slavery is not always a bad thing if you've got a good master. Okay, if you've got a bad master, slavery is not good at all. If you've got a good boss, does it make your job easier? Of course it does. But what if you've got a bad boss? Don't anybody raise your hand on that, okay? If you've got a bad boss, that job is thousands of times heavier and harder to do. But if you've got a good one, now, please don't think I'm saying slavery in this United States was a good thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying slavery with a good master is. Jesus Christ is a good master. He'll give you and help you to do everything you need to do. He'll give you everything you need to function in the spiritual world. Please understand, the physical world, you're going to have some problems in. But the spiritual world, it's already down. You give your life, He will give you life. And He'll give it to you more abundantly. That means that all the good things you have in this life are nothing compared to the life to come. It's all there. It's yours. All right, we've got to decide. What do we want? Do we want to follow Jesus Christ or do we not? See, that it's simple. It's not complicated. It's not complex. We decide, I want to be a part of Jesus Christ. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. I recognize that I can't do it alone. I'm going to have to stay close to Him. I'm going to have to go to Him and ask Him to forgive me. I'm going to have that patience with Him. And He's going to have that patience more with me. And I'm going to have to learn to live like He wants me to live. And I will be forgiven. Not in the time to come only, but now. If you're a child of God and you're walking and talking like a Christian should and you're living your life like a Christian should, I'm going to tell you something. If you are saved, you are saved now. Not just in the future, but now. And what we got to do is to live like that. If you're not a person that's saved, tonight, we can help you to do that. Not because of any great thing we had, but because Jesus Christ died on the cross. We're just doing what He told us to do, so we can't say, oh, look at how great I am. He is one that wants to take you that are saved and help you to remain a saved person, a forgiven person. And He wants to bless you in every way. Now, the blessings are not only for the world to come, but they're for this world. But let me tell you something. Everything God gives you here is nothing compared to what you're going to get over there. It's a whole lot better, a whole lot greater. But you're going to get some things now. And you're going to enjoy those things. So you decide today, do you want to be a part of Jesus Christ? Simple, yes, no.